Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BBC. It is Saturday, the 11th of January, Anno Domini 2014. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Don't get the blues. Kick off your shoes.
Some good news articles there that you got this week.
Thank you.
I was reading through them quickly this morning. I was like, whoa, a lot of stuff is hitting the fan.
Yeah, it really is.
It's always bad when you hear it's worse than you originally thought.
Yeah, no lie to that. Yeah,
exactly.
But trust us.
Trust us, please. Android is on course to break 1 billion users, that's billion with a B, devices this year, up 26% from 2013. Android passed 1 billion activations in September, but Gartner Group says it will surpass the milestone based on active device owners sometime in the next 12 months. A dominant 75% of users are expected to come from emerging markets, where Android is the platform of choice for manufacturers producing budget smartphones and tablets. Overall, Gartner says industry-wide mobile phone shipments will reach 1.9 billion this year, a 5% increase on 2013. Ultra mobiles, which is a segment comprised of tablets, hybrids, and clamshells, are expected to grow the fastest of all devices at a rate of 54% year-on-year, the firm said. Looking at tablets separately, Gardner said shipments will grow 47% year-on-year, spurred by lower retail prices and the increasing popularity of smaller-sized tablets, although it hasn't broken out specific figures for the tablet space. Complementary smaller tablets will take over for the larger tablet form factors, providing the added mobility the consumers desire at a lower cost and will compete with hybrids for consumer attention, said Ranjit Atwal, research director at Gartner. Meanwhile, Apple has announced that customers of its App Store spent more than $1 billion in December and more than $10 billion across the whole of 2013. Apple notes that it means iOS developers have now earned more than $15 billion through the App Store. These figures were obviously given a bit of a boost approaching Christmas, as in December alone, nearly 3 billion apps were downloaded from the App Store. In total, there are more than a million apps available to download from the App Store. iPad-specific apps are now around the 500,000 mark, Apple said. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is what's more important in the long run, number of users or cash on hand? And your choices are numbers mean more cash over time, and are you kidding? Cash is king. So far, 24 of you have voted, and it's closer than I thought. Numbers mean more than cash over time is just ahead of, are you kidding, cash is king. And of course, I know you're going to have more to say about this when you're done voting, so check out the forums. Down the right-hand column, you'll see fascinating stuff. There's a link to the 4i. And poll of the week is at 11 January 14. What's more important in the long run, number of users or cash on hand? And of course, that's our question to you, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Is that catch-22 about you sell below cost and make it up in volume?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you sell below cost, you'll lose more money in volume. So, okay. Yeah, do you want to make a dollar a unit and sell a million of them, or do you want to make $10 a unit and sell 100,000 of them?
Well, of course, in Apple's case, there's two ways they make money.
Yep.
Money they make off of the App Store and the actual sale of the hardware.
Right.
With Google, there's about a dozen ways they make money. There's the sale of the unit. There's the sale of stuff in the App Store. There's the ad revenue. And there's all the incidental stuff that goes along with that. So
using the internet makes Google money.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So,
and
I've
read stories and there have been developers talking about the App Store, about what an expensive app is anymore. And the concept they've been using is race to the bottom. The cheapest app you can put for sale is 99 cents in the Apple App Store.
Well, except for free.
Yeah.
Right, except for free. Right, with the cheapest.
And there's so much for free.
Right, there's so much for free, but 99 cents tends to be the lowest price. So if you see three apps that do what you want, one's 99 cents and one's $2.99, that $2.99 is so expensive.
Yes.
And so there have been developers that have said, you know, before the App Store, I would have sold my program Shareware for, say, $30. And that compares to $70 to $100 for a retail box in the store, which are pretty much gone now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so $30 Shareware rate to the author was always a good deal. Now it's the App Store. You're looking at $1.99, $2.99. You know, an expensive app might be $4.99.
Yeah.
So developers have changed their prices. You know, I came out at $9.99, and everyone said it was too expensive. So I lowered it to $4.99, and I had a big uptake in sales. Then people started saying that was too expensive. So I dropped it to $3.99, had a big uptake in sales. So it's
yep.
becomes expensive even though the price didn't change.
And of course, go ahead.
I was going to say, some of them are also doing it where they'll bring out the basic app at 99 right. cents.
Exactly.
All right. So they bring it out at 99 cents. And then folks say, well, you know, we'd like to be able to do it this and this. So then he'll then up it with more features and capabilities. And then get it up to like the $2.99.
Yeah.
People don't mind it then because they've already had a taste of you know the app at even 99 cents. It's good. It does what it says. It's very makes their life easier. And now they want a little bit more.
Well,
so that's where you can then justify bumping it up to the $2.99.
And that brought in all the whole mess of freemium. Programs, especially games. The game is free, but then you buy stuff in-game.
Right.
Developers make way more money that way because it doesn't feel like a lot. You know,
doesn't hurt as much.
Well, yeah, Candy Crush and Simpsons Tapped Out. And, you know, for a buck, I can buy, you know, a dozen donuts for the Simpsons. If you wait, you get the donuts for free. But
yeah.
I don't want to wait. I'm doing that now. I'm playing Real Racing. Really cool racing game. And the graphic detail on the iPad is amazing. But you earn money by winning races, and then you earn gold by completing events, and you use the gold and the money to buy better cars.
Right.
Well, you can pay real money and get lots and lots of gold and cheat your way to a better car. And I'm seeing people that must have done that because I have a better car than they do, but they keep beating me in races. So they must have more gold to put more stuff into it.
Yeah, I do the Candy Crunch, and I refuse to pay.
Yep. Right.
I am not going to.
There's a great fake movie trailer for the Candy Crush movie. Guys talking about the different Candy Crush games. And then they go into the other games. You know, Mario shows up. Fruit Ninja comes in with his little tiny sword and is hacking away. And the Candy Crush guy comes along and you know, I've run out of lives. What do I do? And game over. No, I have a dollar bill. And there's this moment of tension between the program and the user where he's looking at the dollar bill and the guy's got glistening eyes and I'm not gonna pay real money.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller, Andy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Andy. What's up?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Peachy, you?
I'm doing pretty good. Very quickly, your question of the week.
Yeah,
it's a synergistic answer. You need the money to build the apps. You need the apps to bring the users to put more money in the pocket so they feed each other.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Enough said.
Definitely. Yep.
Okay. Reasons I called. A couple weeks ago, or actually about a month and a half ago now, Win Update, I have it set to let me know that updates are there, and then I manually download it.
What operating system?
I'm sorry, XP, SP3.
Okay.
I know, dinosaur. tax return time this year, we get a new box. But for right now, the box has to keep working. I found a workaround. What it does is it says they're there. I tell it to download. It says unable to download. Workaround, I go to Firefox, go to the knowledge base. I write down the numbers that it tells me that it couldn't download, and I manually do it and put them in. But is this a feature that Microsoft put in to force us to buy new software, or is there something going on? I mean, I've floated around a little on the net, and other people seem to be having the problem. Is this something you guys have heard of?
Yeah, it's called outdated software, and a lot of other stuff, you know, it has updated. So it will trigger other stuff not to go in and update.
And sometimes what we see
is... that makes any sense.
Updates will get stuck. Something failed the first time it installed, and so it can't install again. You might want to check your ad remove programs, or whatever it's called in the new OS now.
Ad remove programs,
and see if that KB article number is listed and remove it, or even Revo uninstaller to remove it, and then install it from the manual download. Because sometimes
I can get it to install from the manual.
Okay.
It's a nuisance to find it on the knowledge base. Because it doesn't always come up.
Well, it's, again, because you're dealing with such an antiquated system, you know, that's the price you're paying for it.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll get
Unfortunately, we'll get there.
You said you're running XP?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you won't have to worry about it too much longer because they're going to stop releasing updates.
Yeah, I know, but for right now, I want to keep getting updates. Yep. And I know all the bad guys are waiting for April, and they're going to unleash Armageddon on you. But, you know, till the tax return comes and I can buy the new hardware because the hardware I got will not...
No. You're caught between a rock and a hard place. We fully understand that.
You know, it's an AMD 1.1 gig processor with a gig and a half of RAM, and that's maxed out on the MSI motherboard. So, you know, I've gotten more than my money's worth out of the hardware, and I'm well aware of it. But as long as they were going to support it, I was going to run it because I like it and it works.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, it works. I don't want to change it. That's so.
Well, it ain't broke. I don't want to fix it. You know?
Exactly. I get it.
Now it's
broken, so
I got to fix it.
Yeah.
And for everybody else, just so you're all aware, for all those of you still running Windows XP and think it can go on forever, on April 8th, Microsoft is already not providing anything but security updates for Windows XP. On April 8th, they will stop providing security updates too. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Security Essentials will stop working. They will stop providing it for download.
Wait a minute. When did Security Essentials ever work in the
first? You will not be able to download it on XP. And there will never again be another update for Windows XP. So if you're one of the people still using it, and Andy is waiting to buy that new machine. Okay. But if you're one of the people still, 86 days, 13 hours, 42 minutes, 14 seconds. If you're one of the people still using XP and think you're going to go along fat, dumb, and happy for the rest of your life with XP, one of those three is true. Perhaps two, for all I know.
So
you're not going to be happy.
That might be a good time to look at Linux as a free alternative operating system, especially because it's probably an older computer.
Right.
And it works great on older
computers. It'll run faster.
Right. There you go, Andy. There's your next project. Put XP on your old machine.
Yeah, I've been looking at that, but since all my files are Office-based and Windows-based and everything else, I'm kind of the rock and the hard place thing.
Yeah. The OS,
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, the OS doesn't matter. The file format, you can read all your Microsoft Office files in OpenOffice or LibreOffice or any of the other Office suites.
I think he's concerned about his tax programs.
That too.
GNU Cache, I've played with.
Yep.
He's
going to have the new machine for that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, you now have this old machine that you can put Linux on and play with.
Yep.
Now there's that too. It is, you know, the machine's fine hardware wise. The second question that just popped up yesterday, and it hit both of the computers in the house because they're both XP SP3. Avast came out with a new version. It said upgrade. So, and I took the free version, which I always do. It upgraded, and all of a sudden I'm getting blue screens all over the place. Last night I finally said the hell with it, put it into safe mode, and took Avast out using Revo, and the blue screens went away.
Yep.
But is this something that Avast is, you think they're going to fix, or is it I got to go back, or how do I go back to, this is like version 2014.09.2011, how do I get back, how do I find the 2013 version that wasn't freezing my computer?
There's a lot of everybody is seeing a lot of problems, specifically with the newest version on XP.
Give it a week.
Avast is not that interested in fixing something for an operating system that simply is not supported.
Oh, true. Yeah, well.
And it's too bad.
Yeah, so the question is going to be, are they going to fix it or just abandon XP?
Right, they're about 4 months early on abandoning XP.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they might...
Well,
XP
is no longer supported by Microsoft, except for essential security updates.
Yeah, so, I understand.
So the regular programming.
But that means that many people are going to keep using it, similar to my situation, until they can get something in place by late March, early April, so that they don't get hammered with all the bad stuff out there.
I get that. But
you got to keep your stuff working.
See, Nick, that's where I'd be concerned, especially if some of the folks with Avast that have paid for it and are still on XP and are getting these blue screens, it's still a good incentive for them to...
I looked at their forum last night, and 7.0 users are having a problem, too.
Yeah.
So
we sometimes see that with major upgrades to programs, and they usually are pretty quick about fixing it.
Okay. The question is, where would I go, or how would I... I did a fast search last night, but I really wasn't finding anything, and safe mode is just so enjoyable to use.
Yeah.
How do I go about finding the previous release of Avast? Is there a place I can go to find that?
Oldversions.com, or maybe even Avast's website might have old versions on it somewhere. We'll see if we can find it and post it, too.
Yeah, but we do have to take a break right now.
Okay, well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I do appreciate your time.
Right, thank you. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 21 minutes after the hour, Soundbites. On member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And we have Al from Greece, New York, on the line. Welcome, Al. What's up?
Oh, nothing. Yourselves?
Nothing. Thanks for calling.
Next caller.
very funny. I just calling about your poll of the week. I kind of agree with what most of them are saying. Because if we didn't have the apps or the phones, they wouldn't be making money at all.
Right.
And besides, the more that people want the phones, the more money they'll make. But the less they want them, the less money they'll make and the less popularity they'll get.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's razor blades and razors, isn't it?
Yeah. And the popularity of the smartphones and app stores have skyrocketed in the last couple of years. Do we see that waning down again? What's the next big thing going to be?
Right.
Direct neural implant.
It is waning down. Because for me, I hate them. I do not like them. I prefer just the standard.
Well, a lot of it is like the sponsor ad that just ran. People are staring at their phones all the time and not communicating in real life.
Right.
Exactly.
So you're sitting right next to me, but you sent me a hangout invitation. So instead of calling downstairs for my son to come to dinner, I'll text him. Speaking of which, I should text him now.
And part of that, of course, when they're kids, is because they'll pay attention to a text, whereas you can yell yourself blue in the face, they're not answering.
They're zoned out because they're zoned into the screen texting and concentrating on the conversations going on, probably with who knows how many other kids that they're carrying on conversations with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Al. I do miss the day when I could just flip open a phone and answer it. Now I've got to take it out. I got to look at it. I got to hit some buttons. I got to put her in.
See, now you're a candidate for the iWatch. You look at the watch on your wrist. It tells you who's calling, and you can decide to answer it or not.
Yeah, right. But I still have to look at it.
Because we're too lazy to pick the phone out of our pocket.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So the Samsung Gear has that.
I've had this phone for about 4 years, and it still works perfectly.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Because take my cousin, for example. He's got that new iPhone 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
I took him out Christmas shopping this season. I told him what he would like for his mother, and he said, whatever, just get whatever you want. I'm busy. And I'm like, stop gossiping in the sun when there's work to be done.
Right.
And I'm telling you. And he's only 7, too.
Yep.
And that's the thing these days. Kids these days are more into that than in their families as well. And that's what I don't understand. Technology is killing our kids.
Well, when I was a kid, it was the television. Mom couldn't get me to dinner because I was watching TV. So what was it? What was it when you were a kid?
Shut
me?
Up.
I was always
was
busy reading a book.
Yeah.
And don't you guys even look over at me. I'll shut your mics down so fast, you won't be. It'll be dead air for the next hour and a half.
Dave's problem was dodging the meteors that were falling to Earth in those days.
Oh, you guys crack me up.
My grandpa taught me how to whittle when I was a kid, and so you're sitting down there whittling.
He taught me to pull his finger, and I always fell for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the time, guys.
All right, thanks,
Have
Al.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
Just because they invented dirt when I was around.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just that we've seen that, like, every generation there's been some distraction. You know, it was probably radio, you know, 50, 100 years ago. You know, we listened to the radio. But back then, you sat around the radio as a family and listened to the shows.
Right.
And I remember doing that when I was a kid with television.
So do I.
But now, because that's when you had one TV in the house and it cost a month's salary or more.
And there were events. Every year when they played The Wizard of Oz, we sat around as a family and watched it.
Mm-hmm. I always remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was what we watched when we were kids.
Yep.
One year it was on, or Willy Wonka, and one year they were on opposite the Super Bowl. And my brother could watch the Super Bowl on our one television. So we had a radio, a shortwave radio, that could also get TV bands. So I listened to it in the kitchen.
Yeah, I remember those. Why didn't he do that? You don't have to see the game.
I've heard of people that will watch the game on TV, but then tune the radio to the announcers they like.
Right. The announcers are always better on radio than they are on television.
What did that just read? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was written by somebody that was known for drastically other things.
Yes, Ian Fleming was
Ian Fleming, yeah. Because there's 50 years of Bond. So BBC America has been doing a lot of stuff on Bond. They showed a movie about Ian Fleming.
The Man Who Would Be Bond.
And then there's a series starting at the end of this month about Ian Fleming and his exploits during the war. And they were interviewing Christopher Lee, who was also one of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
and
yeah, you talk about, you know, Chuck Norris is such a badass and whatever it is. No, it's Christopher Lee. Go look at what he really did in his real life.
Yeah, he didn't become an actor until he was in his 50s, wasn't it?
Right. Up until then, he was doing that stuff for real.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's up?
Well, a bunch of things. I'm going to show my age and the fact that I learned Latin when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, the plural of forum is pronounced 4E.
I know.
Okay.
I did time in the seminary, so I have an overly extensive knowledge of Latin.
Was it seen in Monty Python where he has to conjugate the verb 100 times?
Right. It depends on whether or not you pronounce your Latin as a patrician or a plebeian. You have to remember that, too.
Huh?
Yep.
Well, I just struggled to get through it. But speaking of old age, my PC that I've been using to do my business apps with, XP, using Outlook Express, and I have an old version of Office. And lately, I've been asked by one of my customers to send my invoices electronically. Now, I create my invoices in Excel and print them out and send them off in the mail. Now, if I want to email those, I can actually, in Excel, say send to under the file menu. It'll turn it into an email in HTML format.
Right.
Okay, now, I've been playing around with, I've got another machine that I'm building up here. I got Thunderbird, and I have Libre OpenOffice. Mm-hmm. And when I try and do the same thing, what it wants to do is to send the actual Excel file itself as an attachment.
Right.
Or you what would be better is to export it as a PDF and send
it.
That way it can't be changed.
Well, And there's a lot more. I'm just looking for something. There was only one step involved.
Yeah. Well, there should be a send as PDF in LibreOffice.
Yeah,
it does. I was just hoping to send it this other way, so that it was actually embedded.
Yeah,
they don't need to open it with a PDF reader on the other end.
Right. Well, the other end, if they have a PDF reader installed, it should view it in the email if they have their program set up. And that's the problem. A lot of email programs are set up to not display HTML because that's how a lot of malicious software gets around. It sends HTML code in an email. And some software is also set not to display PDFs by default, because that can be how bad guys work. So the bad guys have really screwed us on...
Yeah, of course they have.
Yeah. Or let's say what you can do is just take a screenshot. If it fits on the screen, one screen, you can take a screenshot and send that as a BMP.
Yeah, no, not quite.
Yeah.
It's 8.5 by 11.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're going to have to give it up and send it as a PDF. if you want them to get it in such a way that they can't change it, and of course you do,
right.
then converting it to PDF is what you want. And then you just have to tell your customers that they either have to set their email reader to accept PDFs and display them, or they're just going to have to click.
And
you know, it's one more click. It's not...
Well, and oftentimes by putting you in their address book, that's the flag to the email program right. to allow embedded images and allow right. pictures from right. this person.
Well, they're like a Fortune 100 company, and I don't think what I tell them they're going to do.
True.
You're right.
We have trouble like that in our office, too. We've got two companies that insist on us faxing things to them with a physical fax machine.
Well, and there's online services that will convert a fax for you.
Yeah, yeah, right. I found a couple of them, yeah.
But well, the other quick question I had was that with a with VirtualBox, all right, and I have a client or a guest set up on a separate hard drive. Now, if I were to reinstall the host and reinstall VirtualBox, would it be able to find that guest on that other hard drive sitting out there?
Well, you've got. When you do something in VirtualBox, what you end up with is a giant file.
Right.
And there's a pointer to it in VirtualBox. You should theoretically be able to mount that file in VirtualBox. You may have to
open it as a new VM.
Right. You should be able to import the VM, essentially.
Right.
That should work, and it shouldn't be an issue. You might have to jump through one or two little hoops
right,
get there, but once you're done, you're done.
Because no matter what happens, I'm hanging on to a working copy of XP.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really kind of the best way to do it, because you can set it up in such a way that once, you know, you get it clean now, you know it's clean, and then you can always bring back, you take a snapshot of that VM, you can always bring back that snapshot at a point where you know it's clean.
And then disconnect it from the internet so it can't get infected again.
Right.
And never plug a disk into it.
Right.
Yeah, it's more like corruption than viruses or whatever. But
yeah.
At any rate. Right. Well, that's enough for today. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Have fun.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something I've toyed with, is getting a big enough box and then just running a virtual operating system on it. So that I can load, you know, if you get an 8-core unit with 8 gigs of RAM or whatever, you can run 2 or 3 other operating systems in it without any issue, really.
It's one of the new Mac Pros, 12-core, 64 gigs of RAM, a terabyte SSD. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that, well, yes, and then you can, because now you can hit all the operating systems.
Yep.
You've got native Mac.
Yeah.
And then you can run Windows, Linux, BOS if you want to, you know. Break out that old copy of OS to Warp and do whatever you want with it. It shouldn't be an issue. But, yeah, that's not something the average human being does, but you can do, and run a copy of Chrome OS if you want to. Why not? Why not?
Although, VMware.
Yeah.
Don't they've got pre-built appliances that you can just download and run a pre-loaded OS that you just tell your virtualizer to run it. So you can skip all that tediousness of installing and configuring.
Actually installing something. Well, that's what a lot of the host companies do now. They run a VM system, and then they either create or download an instance of, for example, a LAMP system, Linux Apache, MySQL, PHP, or Perl, or whatever, and then they just keep adding those in as more people say, "Oh, I want to be on your system." So it's a different way of doing things, but it gives a lot more security. Actually, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour. Sound Bites, member supported. Jazz 90.1. Welcome Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And right. 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I lose control. What can I say?
I know. Well, yeah, if you ever had control. Listen, before we get back to the phone, if you're on the line, please hold on. Or you, if you have a PC, you might want to hang up and enter the contest. But we are having a contest. One of our beloved underwriters, the folks at Frag Repairs, they're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue, are giving away a certificate for one free PC cleanup. That certificate is valid for 6 months. The way the contest works is this. When I say go, you give us a call, 966-5299. That's 966-5299. And we will take, what do you think, the 10th caller?
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, we'll take the 10th caller, and that person will get a free certificate for a PC cleanup at Frag Repairs. Now, if you have won anything from this station in the last 30 days, sit on your hands. Give somebody else a chance. But in the meantime, ready, steady, go. And we will take the 10th caller. We're very delighted with our friends at Frag Repairs for offering this cleanup. We all know that we hear it every week, at least a few times, people who are giving us a question, who are giving us a call about their machines, and they've started running slow. Hold on. We're helping Steve find his pen. It apparently takes two of us. We got it. They start running slow, and so being able to clean up your PC and have it done by a professional is really the way to do it. And of course, doing it for free is even better. So we're delighted with our friends at Frag Repairs, who are doing that. Like I said, they're up on Monroe Avenue in the 1400 block.
The other folks that are on the line, sorry, we already have a winner.
We will
be doing this again next hour, so don't give up. You haven't lost out yet. There's still a chance that you could get in on this next hour. But
exactly
key
right.
thing is, you just got to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's how it works. We're very pleased, like I said, with our friends at Frag Repairs. Keeping your machine clean is a good thing. Never an issue with that.
Something else I was... something we mentioned last week's show, and somebody was asking me again this week, it's at the store. They're already wanting to know, so when's the party for the 25th?
I know, we have to do that soon, if not shortly.
I just casually, threw the question out. So, 25 years is coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm already getting nailed at the store. So when's the party going to be? Because they remembered the party when we had it for our 20th.
Yep.
And they're already saying, so when and where is the party going to be for the 25th? I go, wait a minute. It's only January. That's in September.
Yeah.
Don't rush the summer,
Yeah, exactly.
Spring and summer. I got the riding season ahead of me. I want to enjoy that. I don't want to rush it. That puts us then back into the holiday season. Okay, I'm just getting over it.
But, that's we do. We are coming up on our 25th year. On the air, we've been on the air for 24 years, 4 months, and 8 days as of today, and hopefully soon, if not shortly, we'll start putting some plans together for the 25th anniversary special. We want it to be a party to end all parties, so we'll expect.
Yeah, for 25 years, and we haven't killed each other yet, especially now in this small quarters. Yeah. Other studios that we were at, we had more room.
The big trick is we got to get the polka guys off the air for a while so we can surpass them, because they were, 30 years?
Yeah, they're 30 years. Yeah, they're here to stay.
I was going to say, that ain't happening.
So you guys just take a 5-year hiatus so we can pass you, and then you can come back on.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ruth from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Ruth. What's up?
Well, hello. I'm glad I finally got a chance to check in with you guys.
Us too.
Once long ago and far away, Steve Ray and I knew each other in a journey called the Star Trek Association of Rochester.
Yep.
The last time I saw him was about the time he and Shirley produced the latest upgrade, who's probably graduated college by now.
He's only 15, so it's not quite as long as that.
Okay, great. Actually, I'm calling because of a persistent rumor that seems to keep popping up throughout the internet about the idea of a new Star Trek TV series called The Adventures of Captain Worf. I was wondering what he has heard about it.
Well, I have seen quite a few fan-run and fan-produced Star Trek TV series. In fact, there's Star Trek and Stargate, and a lot of the big popular TV shows have fan-produced movies. There was the Star Trek New Adventures. There's been quite a few of them. And what's interesting is that quite a few of them have gotten sort of celebrities involved. One of the productions has Grant Imahara from Mythbusters as Sulu. And there have been several of them that have gotten scripts from Harlan Ellison and Dorothy Fontana, a lot of the original Star Trek authors. And so we're seeing a lot of this stuff pop up, and original Star Trek actors have reprised their roles in these movies. There was one that was shot... where is it? Upstate, north of Albany, I think it was. There's a casino resort up there, and the guy playing Captain Kirk, his day job was an Elvis impersonator in the casino and resort. And so, when you see him in the show, he's got Elvis hair. And
well, which sounds strangely appropriate for William Shatner, but that's
yeah. But we're seeing a lot of that because it's so easy to film and edit on a personal computer now. You know, you used to have a multi-million-dollar editing studio and million-dollar cameras, and now you can do it all with shoot it with your smartphone and edit it on your laptop and have full high-quality production values.
Right. Basically, this rumor came about because Brian Fuller and Brian Singer keep talking about bringing Star Trek back. And Michael Dorn, of course, who played Worf, keeps talking about reprising his role, or reprising, if you prefer, his role in a spinoff titled Star Trek Captain Worf. The odd thing is, though, at the end of what you call it, he was Deep Space Nine. He was made an ambassador. So I don't know how you.
Well, in the end of Next Gen. In Picard's alternate future, there was a lot of tension between him and Riker because they both were in love with Troy, and it got a little soap opera-y. So we're not really sure how far into the future that will exist, and did it not happen now that Picard knew and Q stopped it, and it's. So we're getting deep into fandom, but there's been quite a few different. Fan-based productions. There's one called Star Trek Phase 2.
But those are fan productions.
A lot of these fan productions have the actual Star Trek actors in them, written by Star Trek people. Right. A lot of times it's guys that do the actual movies and TV shows in their spare time. So it's really interesting to see what's coming up on them.
But in fact, as far as an actual Paramount-produced Star Trek Captain Worf television series, it's very far from getting a green light at this point.
Okay, cool. Well, obviously, I have things I have to look up now.
Yeah, there you go.
So, anyway, it is good to check in with you, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ruth.
Bye.
Star Trek Continues. That's the one with Grant Imahara. And they've got... Was that Bruce Dern on the cover there? So they've got quite a few of the actors are also in the show. No, that's not Grant. Yeah, that was Grant as Sulu. So it's like there's four or five competing fan production companies that are all trying to do this. And Paramount has been fairly liberal with the fans over the years. Not as bad as Disney has been. You paint Mickey Mouse on the side of your house, and Disney lawyers will jump on you. But it's interesting to see that the fans are keeping a lot of these old TV shows back again.
Yep. All right. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I got a question for you about computer-related topic. But before I get to that, I got a joke that is going to brighten your day. But it's not computer related. Do I have permission?
Sure, go for it if it's quick.
It's quick, it's quick. Okay, guy goes to a psychiatrist. Guy, I'm very depressed, he says. I'm so depressed, I might even end it all. I'm so depressed. The psychiatrist says, this is your lucky day. The circus is in town. I want you to go to the circus. There's this guy there. His name is Bobo the Clown. If you see Bobo the Clown, it's going to lift your mood and your depression will end. The guy looks at the psychiatrist and says, Doc, I am Bobo the Clown.
Nice. Nice.
So here's my question. I've had a virus-free laptop, no problems at all since last summer. I took it to Dave's place, and my idea at the time was, let's just update the Avast. I'm a little lost as far as computer stuff goes. Okay, let's update that, and that's all that was done, and it's fantastic. And I said at the time, I said, I'm just going to ignore the fact that starting tomorrow, I'll get these little pop-ups that say, update your Avast now. You have 23 days to update your... And that's what I've been doing now all these months. Almost every time I open up the computer, it says, oh, you should update now. But now my plan is, next summer, around 1 year since I had this done, I'm going to stop by again. And again, I don't know much about the terminology or whatever, but I'll just say, update my protection and just go through the whole little process there again. Does that sound like the right thing to do?
Why not? I mean, if it's running fine, if you're running an antivirus program regularly, and every once in a while you run anti-spyware stuff like Malwarebytes or anti-malware stuff like Malwarebytes or super anti-spyware, then you don't need to do, and it's still running fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're in good shape. And maybe once a year you do that cleanup like our friends at Frag Repair do, and you're done. That's really all you need.
And the countdown you're seeing is a confusion that we've run into between the free version of Avast and the free trial of the commercial version of Avast. That was the free trial that's getting ready to expire and wants you to pay money. So that one you can either pay the money to buy the full program, or you can uninstall that one and install the free version of Avast. And the trick is you got to find the free version, not the free trial version.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And if you can afford it, we always encourage people to pay for the version, because it means that you end up with a happy programmer, and that means they'll keep on updating your favorite programs.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I was the 10th caller. So when I go...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so when I go there, I'll have that stuff done and a couple of dollars extra if that's not included in the price.
Yep.
Perfect. Well,
there you go.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, guys.
Thank you, Mike, and congratulations on being a winner.
Thanks. I listen to you guys every week. Thank you.
Thanks. He's got the right plan. Once your machine is clean, if it keeps running properly and you're happy with it and it doesn't feel... Remember, we said this many, many times. It's how it feels has a lot to do with whether or not you think it's time to take it in for something. If it feels like it's running fine, then it's the same with a car. You know, a car runs great, and then you're in it, and you think, there's something not quite right. You take it, your tires are out of alignment or whatever it is. It's the same idea with your computer. So as long as it feels right and it's running fine and et cetera, then you're in good shape. Hang on, keep going the way you're going. Why not?
One of the things we've seen is that spyware and viruses cause problems many times because they're not written very well.
Right.
And so that's your first clue that something's wrong is the computer's crashing because it's not a good program.
That's exactly right. All right, that music tells me that we have reached the end of our first hour, but luckily we're going to do it all over again. So stay tuned. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. You have just finished only the first hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we might as well get right back to the phones with Sam from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Sam. What's up?
Guys, I got a couple toolbars I can't uninstall.
Okay, what browser are you running?
I imagine Microsoft. Google Drive, and I'm running Microsoft.
Was it Internet Explorer? Is it Firefox? Is it Chrome?
Oh, Google Chrome I'm running.
Okay. And what toolbars are they?
They're Ask. One's an Ask shopping toolbar and one's an Ask toolbar. The publisher is APN LLC.
Yeah, what happens is when you download software from some of the sharing services like download.com or Major Geeks, oftentimes what will happen is in the download that it runs, there's a checkbox that you don't notice that says also install the Ask toolbar. And the trick is that we're frantically Googling here is how to remove that Ask toolbar from Chrome,
right?
Which is hiding somewhere. Here we go. Hard to get rid of the Ask toolbar from Chrome. Oh, this goes back to 2011, so this has been happening a while. A lot of Google's preferences are hidden in the About : config. So let's hope you don't have to go in there. This one says just go into your control panels and go to uninstall. So add remove programs.
I hit uninstall, are you sure you want to uninstall? And I say yes. Then it takes me preparing something. Goes on and off. And then it says, you want to delete this? Yes. And then it says, please wait, Windows. The following application must be closed before continuing to uninstall.
Right. So you close your browser.
Okay, I don't know. What do you mean, close my browser? Well, I don't know how to do that.
Go to the File menu and choose Quit or Exit.
Your browser is Chrome.
That's the program you use to browse web pages.
So if you go to that, and under the File menu is Quit, or Close, or End, depending on which version you have.
In my programs, I click Google Chrome.
No, is Google Chrome is already running somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to Google Chrome, open it up so it's on your screen like you were going to browse somewhere.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know what you're saying now. Okay, all right.
All right, and then you go to the File menu for in Chrome, or you go on the, depending on which version you have, it may be that on the far right, you know, in the address bar where you type in something like soundbites.org?
Yeah.
On the far right of that is three little lines.
Okay.
Or it may be a wrench.
Or
if it's an older version.
If it's an older version. Click on that, and there's a drop-down menu. At the bottom of that menu is Exit.
Okay.
And you select Exit. That will close out Chrome. And then you should be able to run the uninstaller with no trouble.
Oh, beautiful. Boy,
there you go.
So you don't necessarily have to uninstall Chrome, you just have to uninstall the Ask toolbar.
Yeah, but when I'm exiting Chrome, I'm not uninstalling Chrome. I'm just exiting from the
right.
I'm
you just want you, yeah, you have to quit Chrome so it's not running.
Yeah. I also need your Steve and Dave's addresses. For where do you guys go? Where can I go to fix my computer?
I run a shop out in Victor, Mac Ave. Okay. We're mostly Macintosh, but we do some PC work, and that's mac-av.com.
If you go to the Soundbites webpage, we're listed there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's probably the best way to do it.
Because we're all there.
Sounds good.
Yep. Uh-huh. All right, excellent.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And we should I forgot last week, it was Users Group Week. So if you have a time machine, you can go back in last Wednesday was the Apple Users Group meeting, and then today is our Saturday Q&A meeting out at TechAge Computer Lab at the JCC. And then the Rochester Computer Society, RCSI, Rochester Computer Society, Inc., they meet the third Thursday of the month, I believe it is. So that that's probably coming up shortly. So a users group, nope, they're the second Tuesday. Who's the third Thursday? Linux, I think, is the third Thursday.
Rochester Googles is the first Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. We wimped out this week because that was the big storm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, our Wednesday we almost had to cancel the cider meeting because that was Tuesday, all the schools were closed. And my son was so mad he had to go back to school on Wednesday.
Stinks to be him.
Yeah. Well, because Monday was the first day back after Christmas vacation.
Right. Then they got off on Tuesday.
Then they got off on Tuesday, yeah.
They got back on Wednesday.
Yep. So users groups are a great way to meet people, talk about computers, get questions answered through their monthly meetings as well.
If you have, I shouldn't speak for them, but generally if you have a laptop, you can bring it if you've got a really difficult question. Often you have to see it to really be able to fix mm-hmm. some problem. We'll run into that here. We can't mm-hmm.
yeah,
tell
we
you
can't
what's wrong with your system
without actually seeing it hands on.
Seeing it, yeah.
Oh. The Rochester Computer Society meeting is this week, January 14th, and it's being held at St. John Meadows. And they're having a presentation by the Rochester Police Department on cybercrime. So that would be a good time to bring up your story about cybercrime.
Yes, yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have
there's
to
so many
it.
Stories about cybercrime
yeah,
now.
Yeah, really. You have to forgive me. I have news of the week that I almost never actually get to. You mean the Snapchat one?
Yeah, well, I was talking about the Target one. It was Target. The Target is worse than we originally thought. You didn't actually have to shop at the store to have your credit card information taken.
Oh yeah, I didn't actually have that in this week's news, though.
No. Well, maybe that was last week's then.
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah.
Well, it's back in the news this week. So apparently hackers got into their database, not just took credit card numbers from their point of sale machines. So it was originally the story was originally people who bought something between Black Friday and Christmas were potentially compromised. Now it's basically any Target customer who ever bought anything at Target.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Target, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's too bad, but it is... It is how it works. Snapchat, Snapchat has finally apologized for a bug that caused headaches for millions of users whose names and phone numbers were exposed unintentionally. In a blog post on Thursday, Snapchat said it was sorry for any problems this issue may have caused. So that's nice. The team also revealed a couple of changes in its Find Friends feature to better protect the phone numbers of Snapchat users. So you have now an option not to link your phone number with your username. Remember, Snapchat lost tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of usernames and passwords, and you could go to SnapchatDB.com, download the database,
mm-hmm.
and look and see if you were one of them. In addition, by the way, there's a new feature in Google Plus and in Gmail. Anybody in your circles can now email you through Google Plus. Being Google, however, they let you opt out of that. What most people are finding confusing is that the opt-out is not in Google Plus, it's in Gmail. So you go to the settings in Gmail, and there's a place in there to say who can email you from Google Plus. And you can pick anybody, your extended circles, your circles, or nobody. Your circles are the people that that have you in a circle. When somebody says, "Oh, I want to add you to my circle," and you say yes, those are that's people in who've circled you. Extended circles, if for example, Steve circled me. And Dave circled Steve, I'm in Dave's extended circles. And, of course, anybody is just anybody. But you can now turn that off. That's rolling out over the weekend. So it may not have hit you yet, but the place you find it and the place you make your choice is in Gmail, not in Google+. Of course, if you have any one of those accounts... Any Google account is every Google account. So if you have a Google Plus account, you have a Gmail account, One account. If you have a Gmail account, you have a Google account.
One account to rule them all.
Right.
But only written in Elvish.
Right. I used to know that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I did. I laugh at you about Klingon, but yeah. There was a time when I spoke fairly fluent Elvish.
You two both scare me.
Well, let's just say I was young and single, and it was a good thing in those days.
Yeah.
I can still recite the poetry, but I can't remember.
Oh, Freddle Grunt Bunny? Thy micturations are to me?
Yeah. No,
Siri. Siri,
somebody get the
Siri
hook.
Has a joke. You ask Siri to read you a poem, and it says she's the fourth worst poetry in the universe, yeah. In the known universe. Yeah. So there's some Douglas Adams fans.
There's
on
some
the Siri
Douglas
team.
Adams fans. no, it's I can't remember it, and I'm not going to take out the time to remember it now. But one thing I have is I have an album. That is songs and poems and songs of Middle Earth. On one side, it's Donald Swan, who wrote At the Drop of a Hat, Drop of Another Hat, et cetera, who put a bunch of the songs from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings to music, all sung by a guy with the delightfully appropriate name William Elvish. And on the other side is Tolkien himself reading from Tom Bombadil. And it's a great album. It's a great album. What I discovered yesterday...
This one's by Rick Wakeman, Songs of Middle Earth.
No, that's different, a different one? Poems and Songs of Middle Earth by Donald Swan.
Poems and Songs.
And you can find it at archive.org. You can download a very poor copy of the whole thing from archive.org. I don't know if that's legal, but you can. I already own it, so I could just rip. I could just rip it.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess you don't call it ripping if it's on vinyl, but if I
well, see,
that's the one.
The joke was always that doesn't stand for rip off. Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. So let's find that at archive.org. There we go, archive.org.
There you go. And it's the whole album in one large MP3 file. But
is it as bad as Leonard Nimoy doing the Bilbo Baggins
song?
No,
it's excellent. In fact, Tolkien himself, because he was still alive when this was done,
oh, yeah?
Obviously, because he's reading Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to do.
Once you pass. he essentially gave it his imprimatur. He's on the album. He said this is the definitive version of these songs. So, of course. Nowadays, all kinds of people, you go on YouTube and there's an a cappella version of the dwarves songs about Moria and all kinds of stuff that's really excellently well done. But this was, at the time, the definitive Elvish songs from The Lord of the Rings. Imprimatured by Tolkien himself. So, pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
You know what? Maybe, all right, we're coming up on a break in a moment.
Okay.
This would be a good time maybe to get folks ready after we come back out of the break to do our second giveaway.
That's right. Remember, we have a giveaway. Our friends at Frag Repairs are giving a certificate away good for one PC cleanup. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue. The certificates are valid for 6 months. So when we come back from the break, I will announce the contest. I'll give a go. You call us at 966-5299, and we will then pick caller number 11, because it's the 11th.
That's okay. Yeah.
Is that all right?
No, that works for me. But
caller number 11, and we'll do that. So,
but we also have to remind folks, though, if you have one...
So anytime in the last 30 days, sit on your hands, give somebody else a chance.
Because there were a few folks that were going, oh, I was waiting to be the 10th caller. And it's like, sorry, but we
you can't wait to be the 10th caller. You have to
actually be the 10th caller.
Exactly.
And that was, over a half hour ago.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. But you have your chance coming up after the break. We will do that. So we might as well just take our break and move on from there. When we come back, we will definitely do that. So here we go. We're going to take that quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, a contest, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and we continue to be the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites on the truly great and truly
member-supported
Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Excuse me. And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are having a contest. As you may know, we have a contest going on right now, thanks to our friends and generous underwriter, Frag Repairs. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue, and they're giving away a certificate good for one PC cleanup. The certificate is valid for 6 months. You can use it any time in there. I beg your pardon. Bring your PC to them, and they will do the free cleanup. And the way you get this free cleanup certificate is ridiculously simple. All you have to do is, when I say go, give us a call at 966-5299. That's 966-5299. We will take the 11th caller. That person will become a winner. Remember, if you have won anything from this station in the last 30 days, please sit on your hands. Give somebody else a chance. So, you ready? Steady? Go! This is the exciting part. People are racing to their phones, dialing 966-JAZZ, 966-5299. And Dave is giving the bad news to 10 people while the 11th person... happily, delightfully, thrillingly, becomes our next person. It's very exciting.
I saw a TV show about radio contests, and there's some people that are professional contest enters.
Yep, we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. We have a winner. You may hang up.
You're our winner.
Oh, sorry. How are you? I should probably give you the sheet to write on, shouldn't I?
It helps.
Yeah, exactly. Again, as we said, we're very grateful to our friends at Frag Repairs.
Again, we have a winner. There's some folks still trying to call.
Yeah, in a minute we'll clear out the lines, and then if you have a question, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Those of you listening on the stream or on the Ustream or on wherever you are, it's toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Oh, maybe Glenn will call back and tell us how he's doing getting everybody in Pasadena, Texas, and nearby Houston to listen to the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had that charge from us last week.
Yeah, I know.
Glenn, get off your butt there and start making those people listen.
Because he does listen to us on the stream.
Yep.
So
otherwise, it'd be a heck of a skip.
True. Or it could have been a podcast.
He could have been listening to the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of, I still hear, you know, a number of our folks in the military.
Yep.
Still, you know, love downloading the podcast to their devices and, you know, it's bringing home a little, you know, of that program they enjoyed listening to when they were home, but now they can still do.
Right, right. Yeah. And as always, I personally am very grateful to each and every one of you out there. Thank you. Thank you so much. But yeah, the phones are free. If you want to give us a call for an actual question, it's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And I'll read, an actual, this excites me. MakerBot, Chief Executive Bree Pettis unveiled something epic at the Consumer Electronics Show on Monday. I want it understood that Rob Linton, I'm calling him out personally on this, did not send me or any of us to the Consumer Electronics Show this year. I just want that...
He sent himself on it.
Yeah, but that's his money.
Yeah.
Like a showman, Bree Pettis removed the black covering revealing a mammoth 3D printer. It's for making big, epic things, he said. The CEO announced the Replicator Z18 for printing large objects up to 12 by 12 by 18 inches tall.
Speaking of Paramount and Star Trek copyrights, the replicator, really?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a term that's been in use 100 years before Star Trek. If you've been hampered by how big you can make things, then no more, said Pettis. The industrial-strength printer was one of three new models he unveiled. The other two are a new Replicator Prosumer machine and a Replicator Mini. The idea of the press conference was simple. Try to make something for everyone. It's not, are you going to get a 3D printer? It's which MakerBot printer are you going to get, he said. Price-wise, the Mini is $13.99, the new Replicator is $28.99, and the BigBot Z18 is $6,500.
Well, those prices are radically down from what 3D printers used to cost.
I know. Yeah. The little one used to cost $10,000.
Yeah.
I know, because I still can't afford one.
Well, if this is like the 3D printers I worked on.
Yep.
You know, basically what it is, folks, is a 3D printer. You're actually building a 3D model, three-dimensional. And this one company I used to work for did it with sand.
Yeah.
And what they do is they take, say, a wrench. You take this wrench and it's a CAD design, so it's actually got dimension to it. You can turn it around and rotate. You plug that into this program. And what it does is break it down into layers, and it will slowly build by layer of sand with this other bonding material an actual wrench.
Right.
You then put this hardener on it, and you've got a working model. Now, some of the bigger companies that use it, oh, say like Nike. Nike is a very big user of it. Say they come up with a new design pattern for a sneaker. Well, they don't want to, you know, do a lot of molding and everything else. Well, with their CAD program, they can do a 3D, three-dimensional replica of it, and then with another bonding issue, actually turn it into a rubber material that's flexible, and they can see how this is going to work. So they can do it a lot cheaper. They like what they have. They send that off and say, okay, build a mold around this. They've already got a working model.
Right.
They can press a mold of that, and it saves them literally thousands and thousands of dollars.
Advanced prototyping, yeah.
Yeah, right. Doing
these,
prototyping.
These, the ones that I was talking about here use plastic.
Yeah.
But there are, as you said, ones that work with sand and a bonder.
Yeah, there's
also one that works with sintered metal, so it's essentially powdered metal.
Yeah.
And it turns it out right away. They have one of they're going to put, I don't think they've done it yet, one of those up on the International Space Station. So if somebody loses a wrench, you just make another one.
Yeah.
And then they just have to bring up bags of sintered metal. And the plastic ones can make things in multiple colors. And it's not just standard things like wrenches. You can actually build a universal joint if you want to.
With
you can,
moving parts and gears.
Yeah,
it comes out of the printer with moving gears.
Right.
Yeah.
The big controversy, of course, right now is there was a fully 3D printed gun that was designed and created. Actually, there were several. One was made of plastic, so it was mostly a one-shot, kind of a Liberator sort of thing, if you have any idea of what that is from World War II.
Blows up in your hand on the second shot.
Right. And then somebody else made one, made all the parts out of sintered metal. So it's a real gun. It's gone through hundreds of rounds so far. And it's just a regular gun because it's made out of metal. Those are, you know, the things that they're talking. But the big thing, the thing that really excites me is there's a company, MakerBot, actually has a number of other projects, including RoboHand, which lets you print, 3D print prosthetics for children. So if a child, they actually did this, a child lost his hand, and they built him a robotic hand. And 3D printed it. They took all the measurements, they did all the whatever. And so instead of costing hundreds of thousands of dollars to build one, it's not quite right, whatever. They made it out of plastic, which is fine. It's a hard, it's a hard plastic. They made him a robot hand, attached it, had to remake one piece, and they were done. What makes the news is the 3D plastic gun But what really warms my heart is the ability to do stuff like the RoboHand. I'm very impressed with that. And, of course, you can buy one for yourself. Something like the Mini is only $1,400. I say only $1,400.
Buy two. They're
but
cheap.
Again, as Steve said, compared to what it used to cost.
Yep. And there's a local group, Interlock Rochester, that they meet at the Hungerford building. It's a hackerspace, but they also do 3D printers. You can build your own 3D printer for under $500 and then use it to print more parts for more printers.
Well, and you can do that. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about these replicators, they can replicate themselves.
Yep.
So it's actually pretty cool. So
I was watching a documentary on Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist.
Yeah.
And his new dummy, he 3D printed. He sculpted it in the computer. And normally, he said you go with a clay model and then you make a mold I'd send it to the 3D printer. It took 42 hours to print.
Yeah. They're not fast.
No. They take hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
hours.
Not, when we talk about, we printed this 3D hand, well, that hand took a week. You say, we printed a 3D gun. That gun took 8 days. It's not fast stuff, but it still prints them. The miracle is not that how well the elephant dances, but the fact that it dances at all. It's not like the Earl Grey hot. You wait 2 seconds and you open the door,
But we're on the road there.
We're on the road there. The other cool thing, though, is that most of these machines use an extruded plastic to build their stuff. So it's a plastic spool or reservoir.
Looks like wire, but it's plastic.
It heats it, melts it, and then drips it down into layers. You can, on many of these models, you can replace that plastic spool of wire with a vat of chocolate.
Yep.
And build things in chocolate. Boy. That's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
But it is perfectly doable. And I'm kind of fascinated by that idea. Yeah, chocolate printing. You can do that. You can print dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, right? So you can actually make things that look interesting with multiple colors, I guess, in them. So it's pretty cool. I do want a 3D.
I'll have to bring printer. In one of the parts that I made off of one of the printers. And it's a three-dimensional, it's maybe 3 inches by 3 inches.
And that's sort of the factor of the expense of 3D printers is how big a single piece do you want to print?
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a color chart and graphs, and it goes up and across in various colors, tones.
Oh, here's a guy that made a chocolate printer out of Lego.
Yeah, you yes.
And filled a funnel full of melted chocolate and printed and has a 3D printer made out of Lego.
Yeah, you can do that. It's probably not quite as the resolution is not as high.
Yeah,
yeah,
but it works. There are two places you should go if you're interested in seeing the sorts of things people can build. One is called Shapeways. I think it's at shapeways.com. The other is Thingiverse, Thing and Universe together. Thingiverse. At Thingiverse.com, and you can see all the things that people print, and some of it is like, that's kind of cool, but you can find, for example, the blueprint for a car, a little toy car that comes out whole but has wheels and everything else and actually can roll. So.
That sort of blows you away the first time you see it. Moving, rolling parts out of a printer that you don't have to put together yourself. You don't make each part and assemble it. It comes out fully assembled.
Yep. And the usual things you would expect to find, chess pieces and stuff like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Oh, look at this. They actually have apps for Thingiverse.
Yeah. Scott, yeah, they had... We had the guys from Interlac at the Cider meeting a few times, and they were showing off some of the apps you can build on your computer. But now they're building the mobile apps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These may be more for looking at stuff in Thingiverse, but still, it's a start.
Actually, AutoCAD does have a really great 3D modeling program for the iPhone. You start with a lump of clay, basically, and you model it like you would a lump of clay. And it's free, which is especially weird for AutoCAD.
Yeah, right. Blender has a module for MakerBots, one of the companies that does 3D printing.
Yeah, and Blender and...
Blender does, and Blender's a free program, of course.
Yeah, Blender's free. The other one, ZPrint. Or no, ZBrush. ZBrush is another one is very it's quite expensive, and is a modeling program.
You know, Blender just celebrated its 20th birthday last week. Didn't know it had been around that long.
Yeah,
that was quite a program to get your head around.
Just working in three dimensions. It seems so simple to walk through three dimensions, but
you have it in your hands, like you're sculpting clay.
Yeah, that's totally different, but you got to think three-dimensionally.
Especially because you're usually working with a 2D interface and a 2D monitor.
Yeah, and trying to get that. It was a challenge.
Yep.
I tried both Blender and ZBrush, and I got some things to come out. I mean, I was able to build some stuff in it, but it takes a lot of practice.
Several of the... 2D drawing programs have a 3D extrusion mode,
right?
Where you make a two-dimensional object and then it extrudes it into the third dimension.
Right. Okay. We're also starting to see free, at least so far, online apps for three-dimensional work. So if you're a Chromebook owner or you're a tablet owner of some sort and you want to work on stuff like that, you can do it. They're not high end yet really, but they're certainly there.
That's got to be interesting, because quite often with the programs, especially on a tablet, you're going to have a keyboard because of the various functions. Because if I want to push something in versus pulling something out, I'm trying to pull
on a touch tablet, it might be almost easier with.
Well, the next generation, when they get around to actually building them to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Because, you're trying to get, say, in one particular area, you might be trying to pull something out or push something in. You're usually on a regular right now with the tablet,
right.
A stylus, and working with a CAD tablet. It's your pressure sensitive, and it's how much it's pushing it in or pulling it out, but you're also using it with key sequences, a control and an alt or a shift.
Right.
Because there's so many functions built into that.
Right.
And I know I'm probably talking over a lot of folks' heads. It's like, oh.
Well, it's a
unique program.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. If you want to play around with something, Blender.
Blender is free, and ZBrush is $800.
And you can go on the web, and there's a lot of free videos that can teach you how to do Blender.
Yeah.
If you want to play around with something.
Micro USB plug shells. So you create a shell for your USB dongle thing. All kinds of stuff. If you can imagine it, shower heads. Wow. I need a new shower head. Custom Green Lantern ring in blue.
Wouldn't that be the Blue Lantern?
Very nice. What I can't. Exactly. I need an IDIC. But all this stuff is available out there. People are building all kinds of things. You have to have a the difference, of course, between this and just fooling around with drawing stuff is that dimensions have to be exact because you're actually printing it for the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've seen phone cases, tablet cases, tablet stands, and phone stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always go to the dollar store and pick up one of those plate holders to put your tablet on.
Oh yeah.
But often enough, those, if depending on how you set it up, the plug is underneath, and now there's no room for it. But people are building stands that you can incorporate the plug right into, lock it in there.
Oh.
And then you can just set the thing down on it, and
cool.
And there it is. Yeah, it's there is some pretty amazing
sort of
stuff.
Like what you do with an iPad, you know, cradle type of thing. Mm-hmm. You plug it in, it's sitting into the charger / connector.
Yeah, and for anybody who's a do-it-yourselfer, there are those times when you think, man, you know what I really need? Just this little piece.
Yeah.
And you could build it again.
It's the whole make culture these days.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to get back to kids sitting in front of the computer, and television, and now games. You know, get them back into making things.
Yeah, creative mind.
The first robotics competition just started last week, and I was looking at some of the stuff they're doing. They're making a robot basketball team.
Nice.
No.
Nice. You can make cookie cutters. There's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all kinds of stuff that you can make out of this thing, and it's really very, very interesting.
Well, like I say, the only limitation is your mind.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And hey, speaking of the because we talked earlier about Star Trek and stuff like that, Hulu announced on Wednesday the original programming its subscribers can expect in 2014. 4 new exclusive shows, 13 new seasons for existing shows. Premieres for the new editions range from next week to later this summer, although some dates have yet to be decided. The 4 new shows include The Bridge, Deadbeat, The Hot Wives of Orlando, and The Next Step. New seasons are coming for the following shows: The Awesomes, Behind the Mask, East Los High, Elite New Face, Fresh Meat, Line of Duty, Moody Family, Moon Boy, Mother Up, The Only Way is Essex, Pram Face, Quick Draw, and Rev. All of this is available on Hulu Prime or Hulu Premium Plus, or whichever they call it, the one you pay for.
Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus. That was it. All of it's available on Hulu Plus, which is what, $8 a month or thereabouts?
And it's kind of neat seeing first-run shows on a web streaming service.
Right. We hear about it on Netflix because a lot of people talk about Netflix.
Right.
But they're not the only ones doing it. So you can find premium first-run brand-new shows on most of the streaming media content people, like Hulu Plus. Obviously only on the premium side, not on the free side. But it's out there. So for $8 a month. So are you watching original content online? Give us a call. Tell us about it. 585. No? We're done?
Out of time.
Oh, we got 1 minute? Okay, save it for next week, I guess.
Sorry.
But we've talked about that, you know, it's $8 a month. Even if you did all of them, it's $30 a month, $35 a month.
So that carries all your standard, like AMC, TNT.
Well, it's not by network, it's by show.
Okay.
So that's a big thing you have to get your head around. You're not subscribing to Showtime, you're watching Dexter. So it's the shows you want to watch.
Oh, okay. So you have to do a search on that.
Right.
And much
because
of it is not new. You know,
you may have to wait a couple of weeks for the live show that aired yesterday to show up online.
That's fine. Right.
And a lot of people, you know, don't mind that.
Right. Well, and most of them, ABC, CBS, NBC,
they have their own streaming content on their own websites too.
And you can see that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Often enough.
Yep.
didn't catch it tonight, watch it tomorrow online. They tell you that now.
There used to be an interesting split between the streaming services that Hulu was owned by two or three of the media companies, and TV.com was owned by two or three other ones, and so they would split what networks went where. Crackle is owned by Sony and all of its subsidiaries. So it's really neat to being able to watch stuff online and cut your cable bill.
That's exactly right. All right. That music tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get, which I think this week was nobody. I want to congratulate our winners, Mike and Shirley, for winning their free PC cleanup from Frag Repairs. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco. And you don't go away, however, because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. And we'll be back next week with Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.